This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now, here's David Allen, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Joining us in the next title studio, Bob Beeler. Thank you very much for coming in, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good this morning.
Good. I will tell you, I went to the game Saturday, and about halfway through the second half, I was going to use the phrase workmanlike. Because it wasn't flashy, it was just workmanlike when they were up 16. Then as they got up 4 with 30 seconds left, I said, now it's a nail biter. And the free throws at the end of the game were very important.
Well, I believe you had gone to the Wyoming game also.
Yes.
Kind of a similar game where they had control of the game. The game got a little closer than you would have liked at the end. I never thought they were in danger of losing it.
No.
But as Coach Rice will say, and we'll hear a little bit later, talking about with a young team, they need to be able to slam the door in the face of the opponent so that you win by 10 or 12. I guess, you know, you're sitting in third place, 11 wins in the conference. You're going to, you know, finish in the top three, or you should if you win the next game against Fresno State. You'll be guaranteed of finishing in the top three. I think that's the one thing that, you know, maybe he'd like to be able to breathe a little easier at some of the end of the games.
Really great stat also this morning that Michael Walsh sent out on Saturday is this is now three straight years of 11 wins in the conference, the only school to do that, unless San Diego State wins out. But right now, they're the only school to do that the last 3 years. That's a testimony to the consistency of how good the team is.
Well, and it won't happen because he sent it out before San Diego State played Colorado State. And you talk about
CSU won. That's right.
And San Diego State was ahead the whole game, and CSU came back and won. And with that win for Colorado State, that pretty much shuts the door on a regular season championship, whether it be outright or shared. You know, it's still mathematically possible, but remember, Colorado State and Nevada play Saturday, so one of them has to win. The other one would have to lose. The one that wins would have to lose tomorrow, and both of them should be favored in Wednesday's games.
I thought the team was very balanced. You didn't get a lot of scoring from Chandler Hutchinson, but I thought the freshman played great, and I thought, especially in the beginning of the second half, I thought Justinian Jessup, he was aggressive, took the ball to the hole, did the mid-range jumper, which is lost on a lot of teams. He was hitting 13, 15-footers really nice.
And his game has been three-point shooting, period. So he scored, and his contributions to the game were something that he normally doesn't do for Boise State. I think if Boise State is to win the Mountain West tournament, it's going to be because they will have more better players than the other teams. Colorado State and Nevada basically play an iron five. They don't substitute much. So maybe you catch them on a second or a third day.
So depth,
and
depth
use your nine or ten guys that have played pretty well.
I mean, that's looking to the future. That's kind of a good thing to see Jessup and Hobbs as well.
And tomorrow night will be the last regular season home game. Just two, three, Matt Grooms is a walk-on, but two kids that have played a lot this year, and that, of course, is Duncan, who's played for 4 years, and Reed, who is a first-year player on the team, but is a senior after transferring from Arkansas Little Rock. So, yeah, I think there's a lot back. This team should be amongst the top couple next year as well, but this year's not over. Still have a chance at the NCAA tournament, still have a chance at the NIT, and Kurt Apsey the other day on Ask the AD with Caves and Prater made it sound like with this young team that they were open to maybe even playing one of the other tournaments. Too.
Nice. Like you said, I thought even, it's 9 points, 11 points, stuff like that. I never thought they were going to lose because you could tell they were obviously better than San Jose State, but it just never had that feeling of comfort that you want. I'm sure Coach Rice will tell us that and his frustration. And I got to tell you, I was so aggravated and everybody around me was so aggravated because the San Jose State coach spent more time on the court than some of his players. Yeah. It reminded me of Bear Haskins from back in the day at UTEP.
Dave Wojcik, former assistant here, trying to get the most out of his Spartan team. And, they've done a great job this year. I mean, they won 4 conference games last year. They've won 7 this year.
And some of them huge games, like at New Mexico, that they weren't expected to.
I mean, you look at teams and you say, who is expected to do more? Who's expected to do less? Boise State certainly is in. They were expected to be worse than they've been this year. San Jose would be in the same boat. I think you look at San Diego State, expected to be better. Colorado State, I think, is a team that's exceeded expectations. I think Nevada's probably met them. I mean, they probably, because they're amongst the leaders tied for first with Colorado State. New Mexico, I think, is underachieved. How much is Williams being out? But, a lot of teams still have a chance to win the conference tournament. It's going to be wide open.
It's going to be fun. Let's hear from Coach Rice next. This is Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Boise State improves to 18-9 overall, 11-5 in Mountain West play with an 85-78 win on Saturday over San Jose State. And after the game, you talked to Coach Rice.
Yes, we did, and we talked about a number of different players, especially a lot of young players, that contributed in the win.
You know, you had two of the freshmen really step up tonight, in Justinian and Alex. And you know, they're starting to, had they not, I subbed them back in at the end of that game, and had they not turned the ball over, they probably both would have finished with 20, you know, but we had back-to-back turnovers by both of them, so I got some veterans back in there. But that's where, you know, we have to get better at. We look like a young team and not a smart team down the stretch of that game. I mean, we got that thing pretty well in hand. Let's put the nail in the coffin and finish it, not have to go down to those final free throws like we keep doing.
Usually when you look at a Boise State score and you're at 85, you can look at the three-point line and see that you've made 9, 10, or 11. Only four made today. What was clicking with the two-point shots in this game?
Well, you know, we did a good job of moving the ball pretty good and then getting some space and then being able to drive it. And then, you know, Alex is a pretty good driver. He, you know, and Paris is a good driver and Chandler is. And so those guys, you know, they want to take away our threes. But then they have to pick their poison and we can get in the lane.
Coach, when you look as this team is moving forward, you get different contributions different nights. Zach Haney, second game in a row, came in and played a lot of minutes for you. Marcus Dickinson comes in. He played well.
Yeah, I thought he did. I thought he did a nice job. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to cultivate is that we can go 10. I mean, you know, you're talking about the tournament. We're not doing this to have the tournament, but it is the strength of our team. And now maybe that can be what helps us play 120 minutes. Now, you say that, but you got to play 40 minutes and win, and then you got to play 40 minutes and win. And so to try to plan for 120 minutes is preposterous, but maybe that's an advantage that we have.
But a huge asset that you do have.
Absolutely.
In wins, your bench has just been scoring a ton of points in your wins. And in a tournament setting, a strong bench can help you when you got those back-to-back-to-back games.
Right, especially in the fact that the you know, two of the top teams don't have that. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that gives us something that the others don't have. And, you know, but we just, the biggest thing is we got to play better down the stretch of a game and manage those things just a little bit better. And, you know, as a coach, it drives you crazy. Because those are the things that we work on and work on and work on. You know, catch the ball. Catch it first, squeeze it, look at it, slow down, and we just got going too fast and just two unforced turnovers. We dribble to the worst spot in the floor and get trapped. And I mean, you know, we just shot ourselves in the foot on four possessions.
Well, let's talk about Fresno on Tuesday. Short turnaround, one less day. They've got a bye this weekend.
Yeah.
They beat us the first time around. What do you think of when you think of Fresno?
Well, there's a reason why they beat Nevada twice. I mean, they are a physical, athletic team that, you know, they handed us our hats at their place. I mean, they dominated that game from start to finish. And, you know, like you said, playing a team that's coming off a week off is always, you know, you get a dialed-in team. And you get, you know, that's what we had when we went down to New Mexico. And they gave us they were really ready to go. And I expect nothing less from Fresno.
At the end of the year, you can't overlook anybody.
No.
You know, I mean, even the Air Force game that you think, oh, okay, we're better than them. You can't overlook anybody because you're going to find that you get caught in the bear trap.
And I thought the first half of the game in Fresno was one of the worst halves of basketball Boise State played. Fresno shot 60%. I mean, you're not playing any defense. Mm-hmm. Boise State was in the low 30s in the first half, so they were down big at halftime, down almost 20. And they made a game of it in the second half, but this is going to be a tough game. I think maybe Fresno's one of the teams they don't match up as well as they do against others. So it's going to be a big one tomorrow night. A little less day to prepare, and Fresno had the bye on Saturday, so they've been able to prepare all week for the Broncos.
Justinian Jessup, 26th start of the season, ties him for third for freshman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal because I don't think anybody was looking for him to play major minutes. I think everybody wanted him to contribute, but he wasn't going to be making major minutes, do you think?
At the beginning of the year?
Start of the season, yeah, coming out of.
You know, I didn't know what to expect because Nick Duncan was the only person that you really knew or you thought you knew what he was capable of doing. I think people thought that Chandler and Paris would play quite a bit. I think they thought James Reed would play quite a bit. I don't think they had an idea of what they were going to get out of the center position, like who was going to be coming in what order. But no, I look at Boise State. They've gotten a lot out of a lot of new faces this year, and that's why they're towards the top of the Mountain West standings.
Paris Austin reminded me, and I thought it also Saturday, of Derek Marks. He's so stocky, upper body, that he can take it to the hole, finish strong, and get the and one, and then step up and hit free throws. I think he's not as good as Derek. I'm just saying he reminds me of him.
Well, but he's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
So, give him a couple more years. And he gets in there against much taller people. He's 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what they list him at. If you just watched him play, you would guess he's about 6'2".
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he plays much bigger than he looks.
Also, I was going to mention Hobbs.
Uh-huh.
You know, Hobbs started out the season maybe the first 17 or 18 games, didn't play
a whole lot,
particularly much. And then the last 10 games or so, he has played maybe 15 minutes a game.
Well, and he's become a pretty good scorer where he takes it in there and has a very nice floater in the paint. He has made good decisions passing and is a player that, to me, from the start of the season to the beginning of the season, has probably improved as much as anybody on the team.
Well, and coaches love those guys that actually get better as the season goes on.
Yeah.
So. Right. We'll talk about the week coming up next. This is Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. Two games left in the regular season, one at home, one on the road. Tomorrow night, Fresno State, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off with you and Abe. Again, that's a team that sits right behind Boise State in fourth place. Like we've talked about on the show quite a bit, the upper echelon, not quite as upper echelon-y, but the middle of the league is pretty darn good and can win any game at any time, which makes Fresno State and Air Force really important. But it also opens up the Mountain West tournament, which starts the week of the 8th, right?
Wednesday. It starts a week from Wednesday.
Yeah.
Boise State has earned a bye, so they won't play until Thursday. Probably going to be either the 2 or the 3 seed. They still could get the 1. They still could get the 4. But a lot of things would have to happen for that to happen.
Is there any chance that more than one Mountain West team will make the NCAA tournament?
I don't believe so. Okay. I don't see how it would happen. I mean, you've got 5 losses or 4 losses right now for the leader. That's if Colorado State or Nevada were to win, you know, out.
Right.
One of them has to beat the other one Saturday, and then they'd have to win it. So somebody's probably going to win the league with 4 losses. So, you know, I don't see it. I think it's a one-bid league. The important thing about getting the number one seed is you guarantee yourself a spot in the NIT.
Yeah.
And so say, for example, if Nevada beats Colorado State at home next week, they become the league champion. If they lose in the tournament, which I think would be a very good chance of that happening, I'll let you guys pick whoever you want. I'll take the field.
Yeah.
You can take whatever team you want, and I'll take the other 10 and be very happy.
I would too, because the odds are you're going to be the winner.
Because there's so many teams that are capable of winning it, and if you seeded it differently and played it more than once, you're probably going to end up with a different winner.
Yeah. Since both of us went to Mountain West schools, well, they weren't Mountain West at the time, but I went to Boise State, he went to New Mexico. Why don't we just go with those?
I don't want to take New Mexico. Boise State or Air Force or something.
I think one of the big questions at the end of the season is how New Mexico finishes, and I think they may be the team that's most primed to have a coaching change.
Oh, I think so, too, because all you have to do is look at the crowds down there and the lack thereof in the pit that people have the enthusiasm is waning a bit for him. Okay, tomorrow night, no coaches show this week, right?
No coaches. They were finished.
Okay.
Last week
was
the last one.
Okay, so tomorrow night, 7:30, 8 o'clock tip-off, you and Abe. I look for a win. I mean, it's like you say, there's 3 seniors. 2 of them play quite a bit. The third one will get, you know, the spotlight on them for senior year. But the freshmen will lead them, and it'll be up to defense if the first game against Fresno is any indication.
Sure. And Fresno hasn't done real well on the road. They've been Jekyll and Hyde. Other than at Nevada, they really have not done much on the road against anybody. So, you know, I like Boise State to win it, and I think Air Force on Saturday will be tougher than a lot of people think.
Yeah. The Air Force, they're just so disciplined. They're just, I went to the Air Force game up here.
Yeah.
And they're just incredibly disciplined. They all need haircuts, though. Kidding. It's a joke. They all have Air Force haircuts. Bob, thanks so much. Good luck tomorrow night.
We'll see you tomorrow for Bronco Tuesday.
Yep. And again, I'm just saying that since I started doing Mondays, Boise State's never lost on a Saturday. I don't know that they're connected, but I don't know that they're not. 8:56, news coming up next. National and with Rick. And then Chris and I will be back to talk the issues of the day on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Morning. Welcome to the show. Thanks to Bob Beeler for doing a little Bronco Monday action. Boise State winning Saturday, in action again tomorrow night, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off.
Always more fun on Monday when the team actually won.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Yeah. It's been a good year, considering they were picked to finish fifth, and they're sitting in technically third, even though it's second because the first two teams are tied. So you got to love that. In what might be the most controversial high school wrestling victory ever, a transgender boy completed an undefeated season Saturday by winning a Texas State girls wrestling title.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Beggs was born female but has been undergoing a testosterone treatment for more than a year and currently has the muscle mass of a similarly aged male, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported.
Okay.
Though Beggs, a junior at Euless Trinity High School, would prefer wrestling boys, state policy dictates that athletes must compete as the gender listed on their birth certificate.
All right.
The result, a 56-0 season and a 110-pound weight class title for him against girls.
Yeah, essentially. Number one, I'm surprised to find out that there is girls wrestling.
I had no idea
either. In high schools in Texas. Now, I know years ago, it's probably been close to 30 years ago, they started letting girls who really wanted to, you know, participate in the in just wrestling, you know, which is neither men's nor women's. It was traditionally men's or boys. But, you know, Idaho doesn't have girls wrestling leagues or anything like that.
Sure.
So it's kind of a weird thing anyway. But in this particular case, you've got somebody who not only identifies as male, which and you know, they already took care of that. They said, no, you can't compete unless you were born a female or born a male. Then you compete as that. But this is somebody who identifies as male. But the important thing is they have had the hormone shots and everything. So apart from, you know, the actual gender or the actual sex,
sure,
this person is essentially more like a boy now than a girl.
Yes.
And so with the extra, the muscles and whatnot, you know, chances are this was a good wrestler anyway, but she went, what, 56-0?
56-0 this year, yeah.
So it's possible that she had had a bit of a
advantage.
An advantage, yeah, and a little bit.
I guess I'm a little surprised that by taking the testosterone shots and everything,
mm-hmm.
that he didn't fail any drug tests for like a performance enhancing drug. Wouldn't that kind of fall under that?
Chances are they don't test anybody in girls' high school wrestling.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I haven't.
And maybe testosterone's not one of the things they're not allowed to have.
Maybe not, maybe. But I would think high levels of testosterone would
mean that
raise a red flag.
That would mean that you're male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you shouldn't maybe wrestle girls.
Right. This same thing came out in the 70s. Not exactly the same thing, but do you remember when there was a doctor who was also a tennis pro of sorts named Richard Raskind?
Yep.
And he went to the only place you could do this back in that time. He went to Sweden and got a sex change operation.
Yes.
Came back as Dr. Rene Richards, still a doctor.
That. Yep.
And also played professional tennis, this time as a woman. Now, this would have been a much bigger deal, but Rene Richards didn't win very many tournaments because he or she was only so good at tennis to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. But before the sex change, he wasn't a great tennis player. After the sex change, he still wasn't a great tennis player.
Well, yeah.
So it didn't matter
good enough to
what
go,
sex he was.
Good enough to be a pro player.
Yes.
But not good enough to be like in the top 50 or anything like that.
Yeah. So
they didn't complain too much, you know, when he started or she started losing in tournaments.
Yeah. Okay. So then my question would become, what's the next step in the whole transgender thing of I identify as X, but I'm still Y, not to use too good a phrase, sorry about that.
I was going to say XX or XY.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you're able to compete as what your birth certificate holds.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought.
You first told me about this morning, and I hadn't heard the story yet. And the first thing I said was, I don't think you can have it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be taking testosterone and stuff like that to turn yourself into a male and then still compete in women's sports, as far as I'm concerned. Now, apparently, you know, in Texas, they will not let this individual participate in the boys' sports.
No, all the schools have voted, and you have to go with whatever's on your birth certificate.
Yeah, they just said no. But, so I'm not sure what to do. But I mean, this is unusual. First of all,
it is unusual, and I guess I'm trying to form my question here without being a jerk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you identify as male, and you're going through the treatments to become a boy, mm-hmm. a man,
mm-hmm.
why for 0.1 second would you want to? Why would you want to compete?
Against
as a woman
against girls. Well, she
and I know you want to wrestle,
she
but
doesn't,
then you
she doesn't want to. She
well,
has to.
But I'm saying if the rules say you have to wrestle as the birth on your as the sex on your birth certificate,
so you
say
she,
I'm not going to wrestle.
Okay, but the fact is she wants to wrestle probably more than anything except turning into a boy.
But if you have to do your research, I would think he's done his research to know that he couldn't wrestle ever as a boy.
We're having a difficult time with pronouns,
well,
aren't we?
I know because she. She identifies as a male,
yeah.
But she's obviously a female wrestling in a girls' wrestling tournament.
According to the state, Texas State High School Athletic Association.
Yeah. I guess, I don't get it because I've always been a boy. I've always identified as a boy, yeah. And that's just what it
is. Well, plus, when we were kids, if this problem came up, somebody would have said, no.
Yes.
You can't participate.
Yeah.
Go away. And now they don't do that anymore.
And I just, I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. And if I was wanting, because his parents say he's identified as a boy since the age of 3.
Okay.
So if I've spent the last 14 years identifying as a boy,
mm-hmm.
the last thing I would want to do is wrestle as a girl. I would just not wrestle. I'd just say, I'm just not going to wrestle. I'll go play something else.
And this individual made a different choice, still wanted to wrestle, and the only thing they would let her do is wrestle other girls. So she's been wrestling other girls and pinning them quite easily.
Yeah.
Because of her increased upper body strength, apparently.
And that's where all the questions come up and why...
Plus, she also knows how to wrestle.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And why people are confused with the whole transgender thing. And I think for everyone to just paint anybody with a broad brush, whether it be from the non-transgender side or the transgender, saying, you don't like me just because I'm transitioning.
It is.
I just don't get it.
It is confusing. Now, there are a lot of people, especially on the left side of the spectrum, who would say, just let them do whatever they want. If they say they're a boy, they're a boy. If they say they're a girl, they're a girl. And, you know, that this individual should have been able to compete with the boys, et cetera, et cetera. And then virtually everyone on the right side of the spectrum says, no. But on the other hand, it's like we said, it isn't a brand new problem, but it's brand new in that these individuals now have stepped forward and said, we demand the same rights as everybody else, but the rights they want are not the rights necessarily that they were born with, like, for instance, you know, the right to compete in boys' sports or girls' sports, but the rights that they have now claimed for themselves. And again, I mean, I'm not entirely unsympathetic to this. It's just that, you know, we do in life very, very often categorize people either as male or female,
sure,
for particular reasons, and sports is one of those.
Confusion abounds.
Now,
that's all I'm going to say.
I kind of like some of the sports where it doesn't matter. I mean, like shooting and stuff like that. There's only one gold medal. You don't get one for men and one for women.
Yes, exactly. 915, 670 KBOI.
All day tonight.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Actually, you should remember that you're listening to David Allen and Chris.
Well,
that Todd Glendy,
yeah,
if you
exactly
could. Hey, KBOI rewards code, FLUB, F-L-U-B, for obvious reasons, with the Oscar flub evening.
That's right.
We went with FLUB. So go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword FLUB, F-L-U-B, and get your 5,000 rewards points.
Got some instant messages about the Texas wrestler. Recapping the story here, there is a born a female but identifies as a male and has been taking testosterone treatments and things like that, and wanted to wrestle as a boy, but the Texas Athletic Association said no, so this individual had to wrestle girls, and apparently there's girls wrestling in Texas. Who knew? Anyway, this individual had to wrestle the girls team, but went 56-0 in the season. Because I'm thinking the testosterone helped a bit.
Didn't hurt.
Things like the upper body strength and whatnot. Now, still, you have to go 56-0.
Sure.
You can't just be bigger than everybody else. You also have to know how to wrestle.
Because he won the state championship 12-2. So he gave up 2 points. So, I mean, it wasn't like every match was a whitewash.
But like two escapes or something.
Yeah.
Some instant messages. Bob wrote in to say, Chris, I have heard this person Mac Beggs,
yep,
apparently is the name of the wrestler, started this transition at an early age. That, in my opinion, is child abuse. What the heck does a preteen know about who they will become? We were all confused at some time or another. Also, Texas waived the testosterone because they said it was for a medical condition. Okay, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Instant message from Patrick of Caldwell. I'm going to change one word in this, and I think Patrick probably knows which one it is. Morning, guys. Isn't that doping? Aside from that, please stop referring to her as he until she has had a, let's going to say, sex change operation. He gave it the slang name for it.
Yes.
She is still a she, not a he. Okay. And Dave of Boise, he says, what about the mental state of her opponent, a male that was raised to respect the female body? How is this fair to the actual male wrestler? What a bunch of BS. She should be on the female team, period. What boy would want to lose to a girl? I don't think anybody wants to lose, no matter who they're wrestling.
Yeah.
But, yes, they did make her
wrestle with girls.
Wrestle on the female
yep.
team.
Yeah, she was not
able to
be on
to the
boys
team. So, but, you know, Dave's just saying there's no way she should ever be on the boys team. Now, here's Sheldon, who says, to clarify the pronoun difficulty, the wrestler is a he. And again, some people have different opinions. He wants to wrestle and has every right to wrestle. The fact that he is being forced to wrestle girls is the fault of the School Athletic Association and the state of Texas. This is not the problem of the wrestler at all. It is up to society to be inclusive, period. Let the young man wrestle other young men if the shoe is on the other foot and it is an issue of the combatant's safety, then a solution can be crafted then. But in this situation, we see a myopic and narrow-minded societal ill. Let the boy wrestle.
Rick in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
I'm good. In Treasure Valley, girls do wrestle with boys. And as a matter of fact, I know one whose name is Tiffany. She wrestled and she actually beat some guys. And one of them afterwards threw up.
Oh, no.
But, you know, here's the dilemma. It's a tension between if he is a boy, then he should wrestle with the boys. But he has to use the women's bathroom. So there's the, you know, there's a really, really simple answer. If you're going through a medical procedure, which takes years to become a particular sex, it's not to get into the other bathroom to see what they look like. Because they have that. They already know.
Yeah.
So the simple thing is, if someone is transitioning, let them be what they want to be, and then there's no problem. You know, this person maybe is wrestling because he is good enough to get a scholarship in college. So maybe he has to continue to wrestle to maybe get to, into college. So there are reasons why he would not just stop wrestling. So, you know, this is a solution looking for a problem, but the solution is one that some on the right don't want to consider.
All right, Rick, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Steve in Boise, you got about 60 seconds. Steve, what's up?
Well, I'm just sitting here looking at the day. And, you know, when you have to use steroids or drugs, doesn't that throw you out of competition?
Again, she's not using steroids. She's getting testosterone injections.
But, okay. Yeah, I believe in the NCAA, no matter what sport you're talking about, that would be the case, yes.
So I don't know why this is even an issue, but, you know, it seems to be going around. And once the government starts sanctioning something and they start making an issue of it, they get their 15 minutes of fame. I mean, that gal that was up in, was it Spokane, Rachel Dolezal, I think's her name?
Yeah, she said she identified as black, and so she was the president of the NAACP.
You know, if somebody has an identity crisis, I thought there was counseling for that.
That's true,
but
Steve.
It doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Hey, speaking of that, she's almost homeless and on food stamps, by the way. 926 News with Rick is next on 670 KBOI.
Wait, what?
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
936 on 670 KBOI. Chris has an update. This just into the newsroom. Go.
An update? Well, you mean I've got more instant messages.
Well, no, you said that you had the update that testosterone is a steroid.
Oh, well, yeah.
I didn't know about.
It was an instant message. But,
okay.
But yes, Bob wrote in to say, Chris, tell David testosterone is a steroid. And then he gave this or included this definition. Testosterone is a 19-carbon steroid hormone produced primarily by the Leydig cells of the testes in men and the ovaries in women. Smaller amounts are produced in the adrenal glands of both sexes.
I had no idea, so I was not speaking as an authority figure. I was speaking out of ignorance that I had no idea that testosterone was a steroid.
I didn't know it was either.
So I would have never guessed that.
Really never have had the opportunity to check into testosterone or steroids for any particular reason.
Yeah, no, I've never had to take a testosterone shot, nor have I ever needed a steroid shot.
Dallas says, isn't it disqualifying to use performance enhancing drugs, no matter what your identity as a or as to steroids and testosterone? It depends. I don't know the rules for Texas high school sports. I don't know whether they drug test them or not, and I don't know whether this particular situation falls under their rules.
She might have such low testosterone. I don't know what they're grading her on to where even if they test him for these, he still comes in under the guidelines.
Now, Ron of Boise brings up something that essentially was sort of we kind of talked about this about 10 minutes ago a little bit, but didn't get into it as much as Ron does. Ron says, if it has not been brought up yet, young men wrestling with young women creates an issue as the boy and girl will incidentally grab things which would result in an arrest for anyone else or anywhere else. The issue is amplified if the boy or girl were Christian. A Christian boy or girl should not be putting their hands on someone of the opposite sex. Net result, boys and girls should not be wrestling each other.
David in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. I almost wish that I hadn't tuned in this morning.
Wait a minute. Come on.
It's an interesting subject, but put the shoe on the other foot. If it was a boy who wanted to identify as a girl, they would not let him, maybe they would, but they should not let him wrestle girls despite all the estrogen treatments and so on and so forth. In the Cold War days, these Germans were banned from doing this. Several of them, as they were trying to get more gold medals.
Mm-hmm. Under Texas law, if a boy was taking estrogen to try to transition to female, he would still have to wrestle boys because under the high school rules, you have to wrestle whatever the sex on your birth certificate says.
Okay, well that's one question. And the next idea is, I've heard it said that if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. If you have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, you're a boy and you do boy kind of things, or you know, you use the XY bathroom, you use the XY shower room. If you're XX, you use the XX bathroom, the XX shower room. Rare occasions you may have an XXY, but I do know one of those, but that's a whole different issue right there.
All right, David, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
All right, bye.
I've always thought that if you were transitioning and you got all the surgeries done, you could commit a murder where you left your DNA because they would be looking for a man. Is that right? Because you can't change your DNA, and so you'd never be a suspect.
I got probably about as far in school, science-wise, as you did.
All right, so I've only dissected a frog, so that's really all I know.
Why we're working here and not at a hospital.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, because I don't think you can change your DNA.
Well, I know that the older you are, in the year 2017, this is a generalization, but the older you are, the more you see problems as black and white. In other words, it's either this or it's this, and there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
However, you ask a 16-year-old in the year 2017 how they see problems, and it'll be completely different.
There's lots of gray areas.
Most of them. Because I think they've been raised, you know, entirely in the 21st century to think that, you know, things that we used to just write off to craziness are now completely normal. Whether that's right or not, that's for you personally
to decide. Yeah, that's just how, society is. Any more instant messages before I take a break and we move on?
No, I think we should take a break and move on.
All right. 942, we're going to come back. An article in USA Today talking about Trump impeachment on 670.
670 KBOI. Back down to David and Chris.
Thank you very much, Rick. After the news, Rush Limbaugh. After Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage. After Michael Savage, Nate Shellman. Then after Shellman, Mark Levin. All right. I'm reading this story.
And then you can start over tomorrow.
Then you just start over. Except it'll be Paul J. It won't be me.
Okay.
I'm reading this story out of USA Today right now, and it's by Jason Sattler, and it's an opinion piece. At the Constitutional Convention, James Madison imagined impeachment as a relief from a chief executive who might, quote, lose his capacity after his appointment. He might pervert his administration into a scheme of percolation or oppression. He might betray his trust to foreign powers. President Trump might have won Madison's Triple Crown in his first few weeks. This is no
might have, I think, is the key word there. Yeah.
This is no exaggeration. The latest, but far from only example in the Washington Post report that the White House, having failed to get the FBI director and deputy director to publicly rebuke reports about contacts between Trump and Russian intelligence operatives before the 2016 election, then enlisted Congress and the intelligence community to knock down stories about the alleged connections. And the goon squad attempting to limit the president's PR damage reportedly includes the man Trump picked to lead the CIA and the chairman of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, who were Trump transition advisors and now are the two men most responsible for investigating Trump's Russia ties.
So his appointees are the ones that are going to investigate whether or not everything's on the up and up. Yeah, that seems like a conflict of interest.
And so Jason says it's time for Democrats to start talking impeachment, even if it less likely to happen under the Congress than the president giving up basic cable to learn ancient Greek so he can read some Plutarch. House Majority Minority okay. Leader, that's a pretty funny line. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said Democrats would use the I word in reference to Trump until would not use the I word in reference to Trump
that would be impeachment.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
When and if he breaks the law. This not only misunderstands the founder's design of the ultimate check and balance, it also ignores that besides his foreign entanglements, Trump may already be in violation of the emoluments clause of the Constitution. Let's allow that Trump's constant lying, 60 false claims in his first 30 days, 80, sorry, and twitchy tweeting indicate that he's at least no more incapacitated than he was during the campaign. Perhaps Trump's possible coordination with Russian President Vladimir Putin, reflected in softened language on Russia and the GOP platform in this campaign's odd associations with pro-Russian forces, merely indicates he's a huge fan of murderous thugs who compliment him. Or...
yeah, I'm thinking that's not the way he would describe it.
He's also a big fan of the guy who might help us eliminate ISIS. The enemy of my enemy is my friend sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so.
And I think Putin, it's my take that Putin hates ISIS as much as we do, if not more, because they're in Syria, which is where his puppet is in Syria, Putin's puppet.
Okay.
I say that.
All right.
Meanwhile, a member of Trump's private Mar-a-Lago resort, where the membership fees recently doubled to $200,000, are enjoying direct access to the president and foreign leaders, and all of Trump's businesses, which are inextricable from Trump's persona, still benefit the Donald J. Trump Revocable Trust, a trust that has been set up for the exclusive benefit of our current president. So basically, Jason says it's time for the Democrats to not just tease at the I word, but to start looking into it as a viable source of getting Trump out of office ASAP.
And my guess is they already are looking into it, because it doesn't sound like they really have any vested interest in keeping him as the president, you know, for any long period of time.
It doesn't seem like it to me either. I'm going out on a limb there and say that most Democrats are not a fan.
However, you know, I would assume that if they were going to do something like this, they would wait until they absolutely have concrete evidence that there was malfeasance or, you know, some kind of something illegal going on. They do have suspicions. They do have, you know, all these unconfirmed reports and whatnot. I don't know, though. I don't know who would be willing to bring up those charges you know, if they weren't going to stick. Let's put it that way.
Because if you remember correctly, when Clinton was president, mm-hmm. and they tried the impeachment thing for lying in front of a grand jury.
Okay, but now let's get the terms correct. Impeachment means that you are brought up on charges.
Which he was.
Okay, so you are impeached if you are brought up on charges. It doesn't mean you're kicked out of office.
Nope.
Nobody has ever been kicked out of office. No president. Nixon resigned being impeached.
Yes.
Andrew Johnson was impeached but continued to be president. And Bill Clinton was impeached and also continued to be president.
Yes, exactly. So just because Trump gets impeached doesn't mean Mike Pence is going to be president all of a sudden.
I think when Nixon, that was one of the first times that we really started using the word impeachment. But when Nixon was president, I think people assumed that impeachment meant you were thrown out of office. And so there are a lot of people that said, well, nobody's ever been impeached but Richard Nixon. Going, no, technically he was not, and two others were.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, I think in history, had Nixon been impeached,
mm-hmm.
I think he probably would have been thrown out of office because of how many laws he was complicit.
Plus they had him on tape talking about a cover-up.
Yeah, exactly. So he might have been the first one to actually be mm-hmm. impeached and thrown out of office, would have been Nixon, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just 12 years old. I just remember it, watching those hearings and thinking, there is nobody more boring than Dean. That dude was boring.
John Dean.
He was just boring. It was bad. It was bad. It was a bad time in the country.
Oh, I mean, you know, he was as exciting as you can be when you're trying to save your own bacon.
Oh, that's true, too. And then Ford doomed himself to ever win re-election when he pardoned Nixon from any further.
Well, I mean, you know, after the Nixon administration, no matter who took over, I don't think was going to win the 1976 election.
I don't think so either, but he certainly doomed himself. I mean, I think he did the right thing in the long run for the country.
Yeah.
Just so that it could all be, you know,
well,
he
did the right thing for himself, too.
Well, sure.
Rather than go through the whole thing and be declared guilty, he just straight out resigned and then was pardoned.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure was something that they worked out before Ford was ever chosen as the replacement for Spiro Agnew.
Sure.
As vice president.
I remember that speech when he resigned. Honestly, other than like Patrick Ewing,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've seen a man sweat so much. I mean, he was just that night. He was a big sweater anyway.
Well, yeah, the most he ever famously sweated. Is that
Let's
sweat
go with it.
Whatever. The most he ever famously did that was during the 1960 debate that was televised, where you know Nixon had been sick and wasn't completely clean shaven, and Kennedy looked like a male model compared to him.
Yeah, and it's interesting about that to tell you the power of radio. Everybody who watched it on TV thought that JFK won. Everybody who listened on radio thought that Nixon won because they didn't have to see him.
Because they didn't see him sweat.
Yeah. But
they just listened to what he had to say.
I'm just saying Patrick Ewing used to sweat a lot. That's what I'm saying.
I got another instant message here that's about our topic that we had previously about the wrestler in Texas. And this is Curtis who says, good morning. I don't know what being Christian has to do with it. I played water polo in high school. We had girls on our and other teams that we played. There was touching all of the time. That's the nature of the game. We didn't think about it. We just played to win.
The only sport I ever played that where the girls were right there in high school
mm-hmm.
was track and field. We practiced together.
Right.
So, but there was no touching in that situation, obviously.
But you didn't actually compete against each other.
No. We never. We just practiced together.
Yeah.
And then on Saturdays, we went to one stadium and they went to another and they played against girls.
Yeah, in track and field, if you start body checking, you're doing it wrong.
Well, I was doing it wrong. That's why I didn't get a scholarship to college. it's going to be interesting to see what happens and if Texas and or other states end up looking at all of this and going, okay, now we've got to look to see where everybody's mm-hmm. going to be able to practice and play and be gender safe.
One more quick note here, just one sentence. Baxter of Boise wrote in to say, yes, Steve Harvey shouldn't feel so bad considering what happened at the Oscars. No, I think they should all feel pretty bad.
They should all feel bad, but certainly Steve Harvey's is in second place now, that's for sure. All right, rest of the day. Rush is coming up after national and local news with Rick. And we've got Michael Savage at 1 o'clock and Nate at 3. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow on 670 KBOI.